Good morning. This is Dr. Kim, and I'm standing in for John Orr, who typically runs the conversation this morning. Today's topic is bullying and schools, and we want to hear from all of our listeners on this topic. Why? When I speak to a lot of the school officials, many of them tell me that we really don't have that big of a problem with bullying in schools. Yet, the anti-bully programs that are run out of the Astoria Armory have many kids coming to Robin asking for some help with some of the bullying that's taking place. So I want to give you a few statistics, and then I really want to hear from those of you in our community to see what your take is on bullying in schools. Every 7 seconds, a child is bullied, and 6 out of 10 young people in America witness bullying once a day. 64% of bullying is not even reported. 160,000 students every year miss school for fear of being bullied. 43% of kids who are bullied fear being bullied in school bathrooms. Now, one of the things we know in research is that 25% of kids that bully when they're younger grow out of bullying. And what does that really mean for us? That means that 75% of bullies grow up to continue bullying. That means our neighbors, our friends, our husbands, our wives, our coworkers, our colleagues. And so if you're wondering, if adults get bullied, they do. There's a big problem with adults being bullied as well. So what's really going on? What's going on in our community? I want to hear from you. The lines are open, and the number is 503-325-0010. I'd love to hear from you. Give me a call. Again, the number is 503-325-0010. So I will talk to you a little bit about some of the main elements of a really good anti-bully program. First of all, the entire campus has to be involved. Everyone that's on the campus, the staff, the principal, the vice principal, the teachers, and the students participate in an anti-bully program. They're taught that when they witness bullying, how to report it, how to stand up for each other. If a school says that they have an anti-bully program, but the only program is really suspending kids or saying we have zero tolerance, so if the bully happens to pick on a kid and that kid fights back and defends themselves, that child also gets suspended. So does that work? What happens if the bully and the victim both get suspended? Well, one of the problems is that the bully needs help. Being suspended from school is not really addressing the root of the problem. There's a reason that kids bully. Some of these kids are being bullied at home. Some of them have been bullied by other bullies. And they can feel a lot better about themselves when they put another child down. So the bully needs help, and suspending them is not giving them help. Now, what happens to the victim? So if a victim fights back and protects themselves and they get suspended, they're re-victimized. So what happens to that child? Are we supposed to teach our kids that they're not to defend themselves no matter what? I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear what you think about that. Again, 503-325-0010. I'm waiting for your call. This is a community issue, and I'd really like to talk to you. I know that several people have come up to me and talked about bullying and have asked me what they can do about it. So as far as the victims go, what I would suggest is help your kids discover their identity their purpose and a sense of belonging. If you go to extraordinaryyouth.com, there's actually videos that you can look at, and they're complimentary videos, and it will really explain this in more detail. And when you put in extra, don't put in EX, just put in X. Start with extraordinary. And watch those, and you might, oh, I think we have a caller. Hello. You're on.
They're not on the air quite yet, but they're going to be on the air hopefully just in a little while. So keep going with what you're going
to
say.
Okay. So one of the things that we have to help our kids discover is who they really are.
And now I believe that we have that caller on air. Hi, you're on air.
Hi, my name's Danny Williams. I live here in Astoria, and I'm calling about the bullying issue. I've been basically advocating for the kids in the high school and the middle schools here about bullying. And I've researched it. All of the schools have a bullying policy and procedure that provides, you know, great things about anti-bullying, and you know, but it's more bark than bite. The legislature, when they required the policies and procedures, they made everyone in the school system is a mandatory reporter, which means if they are aware of bullying or an incident of bullying or an allegation, that they have to report it. But the legislature didn't see fit to put a written report system in. And without a written report system, there's no accountability. There's no way to put a baseline metrics to see how we match up with other schools in Oregon and how we match up statewide. Also, you mentioned the bathrooms. And the school board here just got a $70 million grant to redo the schools and do a lot of construction and upkeep. But I was at a school board meeting just last week, and it doesn't provide for the building and of non-gender-specific bathrooms. And since transgender kids bear the brunt of bullying, I know of cases of bullying that are going on in the bathroom right now, were going on until the school year this year. So that's my input.
What would you suggest? And thank you very much for giving us that information. What would your suggestions be? If you could have your wish, what would you do?
I would have a written report system, policies and procedures regarding a written report system where the initial intake is made. It could be like similar to any other incident report, whether it's a private or governmental, like police reports or anti-theft reports, and it would be have accountability in the sense that the person that it was reported to, whether it's a teacher, administrator, or even a school cafeteria worker, initiates the report, signs it, and then it's turned over to the next person in the line. That way, a parent, when they go to the school and they complain about it, hey, what happened to my kid? There's a report system that they can see, and they can follow it through. The state also requires, when this mandatory reporting, when it's reported, that certain things be done within limited time periods that are specified in the statutes. And when there's just an oral report, what happens is it might be reported, but what the kids tell me that I've talked to is adults are useless. They make the report and nothing ever happens because no one knows what happened to it, the report.
So there's not any follow-up is what you're saying, right? There's no teeth behind this legislation. There's no follow-up. No one's actually taking it to the next level. They're dropping the ball.
Yeah, exactly. There's bark but no bite because a written report system assures that there's accountability, and there's also transparency for anyone that wants to know what's going on with the schools It's not like, oh, well, someone reported this, and we get the reports, and we investigate them, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, blah, blah, blah. But when you go into the blah, 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 they don't want it. They can't give you the specifics because, you know, we're talking about minors and anonymity that the kids are entitled to protect their privacy and the parents as well. So the blah, blah, blah is never, it's just blah, blah, blah. The bark and no bite.
Do you think that if there was a way to appropriately address the bully, in other words, to get the bully help, do you think that it would be more likely that there would be follow through?
Absolutely. The bully has to be a part of the equation. Most bullies, they don't just start bullying at the schools. What happens is they're subject to bullying by other kids or even other parents, their parents in their own home or their brothers or whatever. So they take it to the schools. So definitely the bullies should be like treated as victims themselves in a sense. And I'm not trying to say, oh, well, there's to excuse by any measure what a bully does. You know, we have bullies that they find out that it works because nothing happens to them. And it's a strategy to get cope with life that works for them. And the next thing you know, we have presidents that are bullying from the pulpit there. It's just a terrible thing. There's a little bit of apathy, I would say, because everyone says, oh, well, I was bullied in the school, or there were bullies when I was in school. But it's a different situation these days. It isn't like it was when we were kids. Today, the bullies, they come from the kids themselves. A lot of them were bullies, and they go home and get a gun and go back to the school and start shooting it up. Also, school bullying, it used to be you go to school, and then you get out, and you go home. You can have summer break. You can have weekends off. But now the bullying in the school continues because of the social media that everyone has on phones. And the bullying needs to be stopped. And the attitude is, oh, we can't do it. Kids will be kids. Yeah, kids will be kids, but they also have access to weapons, and they hurt and kill people.
Well, we know that. I just want to say we have another caller coming in, but I do want to say that you've given a lot of golden nuggets here, and I think many of us agree with you. I certainly do. More needs to be done. And that we need to work together as a community to identify strategies that really do work. Thank you so much for calling in. Lots of value in what you shared with us this morning. Thank you.
May I say one short thing
of
real
course.
Quick, please? A written report system, it's imperative that we have that written report system. And I would encourage parents and anyone else to attend the school board's meetings when they start back up in the fall. And see that the written report system is put in place.
Well, there you have it. A great recommendation. We can get together and do that. Thank you.
Okay. I missed your name.
I'm Dr. Kim.
Thank you, Dr. Kim.
You're
nice
welcome.
Talking to you.
Thank you for calling
Bye.
In. Hello, you're on the air with Dr. Kim.
Not quite yet, but we're going to get him short. In fact, I think we have him in right now. Hi, now you're on the air
now,
with Dr. Kim.
Hi there. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Tara, and I just wanted to call in and say I definitely agree with the gentleman earlier on a written system because we had an instance to share where it's a really particular situation, which every situation is going to be completely different, and if it is noted, then they'll know better how to deal with it. That time and time again, you know, with all the different instances. And our situation was that my son was in track, and he had made it to districts, and the practice before districts, the night before, he had gotten it was mistaken that he hadn't made it to districts and that he needed to attend practice that evening. We addressed the coach immediately during practice, and the way they handled it, it was the first time that it had happened, but said, well, since he has mispracticed, he can't attend districts the next day until we get to the bottom of this. Well,
Tara, excuse me, can you clarify why he didn't go to practice? That was something with bullying?
So the note saying that he mistakenly had gotten the letter that he had made it to districts, it was kind of a big hit because he was excited to go and felt very proud that he made it. And the fact that all of a sudden he was told he didn't, then he was kind of horrified and embarrassed because he had told his friends and family, and we were all attending the district the next day. So he was so upset that he didn't go to practice because the letter said not to.
Okay.
And so, therefore, the school regulation is that if they miss practice before districts, then they cannot attend. But this situation was that he was told not to come, but finding out that the teacher did not write the letter, or the coach, and they knew that by looking at the letter, that no adult had written the letter. The victim stayed a victim because no one got to the bottom of it. He missed the opportunity to attend district with all the other classmates and then also then make it to state. So that was, you know, yes, I understand if you miss practice irresponsibly to not be able to attend districts, but this was a very significant, you know, reason, and I felt that they should have allowed him to go to districts until they did get to the bottom of it, not you stay a victim until they get to the bottom of it kind of thing.
So it sounds like your son was bullied by receiving a letter telling him that he didn't make the team.
Right.
And so he was upset, and he didn't go to practice that evening. And by missing that practice, he was told he could not participate.
He was disqualified. But they knew before that. And I know, you know, the school hadn't had this situation before. So there wasn't a big time frame to decide on how to address it. But like the gentleman talked about before, if it's noted for the following time that this may happen, that kid doesn't have that happen to them because he now knows that he didn't have a say-so or, any ground to stand on until they got to the bottom of it, in which they didn't. And so what I'm trying to let him know is a way to not let that bully win is to make sure you attend that sport next year with full force and knowing that people do that to be more aware and ask questions right away. Don't ever hesitate when, you know, you get a note in your locker or you are bullied in any way. That was definitely a bullying situation. Not physically, but mentally.
Right. Well, emotionally. So I think what you're saying, you agree with the previous caller talking about victims getting re-victimized.
Right.
And I think that is the most frustrating aspect of anti-bully programs for parents, because the parent of the victim has to watch their child be re-victimized. And so what would your thoughts be as far as the school taking a different stance towards the child that's being bullied? In other words, flexibility.
I think the first immediate reaction should be giving them the benefit of the doubt first.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel heard and not, you and whoever else did this is going to be investigated. And then we'll see what we're going to do. I think they should initially, if they're actually speaking up and trying to deal with it right away, especially that they should be listened to. And that kind of situation, I believe they should have, allowed him to go ahead and go because he was in the sport for a reason. And so, you know, every situation is going to be different. And the school can't possibly know how to deal with every situation that comes, but having it noted may teach them in time how and what the best route was or is to do for them.
So it sounds like having it noted, but also creating policies that are basically at least looking at the victim and making sure they're not re-victimized.
Yes, and, absolutely.
I know that trauma-informed care campuses, they make sure that victims are not re-victimized. And I do believe that some of the schools in Oregon are really trying to move into trauma-informed care. One of the main tenets of that is that we don't re-victimize victims. And I think if we would be moving in that direction, that would help a lot. But I also believe that parents like you, like the gentleman before, need to really go to the school board and talk about these things. And maybe it takes some parents to get together and talk about what would really work and what you'd like to see and let the school board know. I know that schools, it's very difficult. You know, there's so many different cultures and there's so much diversity and there's so much they're trying to deal with that sometimes the first thing they want to do is just control the situation.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, from I'm a psychologist, so from a psychological standpoint, you've really got to do a lot of connection before you do the correction. And that's something that trauma-informed care really looks at. So let's be hopeful. I'm so sorry that that happened to your son and your family, because actually it takes an emotional toll on the entire family when that happens. But it gives us an opportunity to learn and to do things better. So I would encourage you and all parents, you know, don't give up, you know, go to school board meetings. And you know, like the gentleman suggested, you know, talk about what can be done. We don't have to accept that there's nothing more we can do. And I think schools are open to trying to find different pathways forward. But it really needs to be a part of their policy. Because when it's not a part of their policy that we don't re-victimize, the teachers don't have a lot of control, right? They need to follow the policy. So the policy is where it really needs to change.
It does. And reactions should be, you know, that since they can't get to the bottom of it, to just get over it is what he was told. He's not going to just get over it. He's in, you know, middle school. So it's something that is a huge, you know, thought process for him for even doing sports the next year because of something like that. And so it was a big deal, and it should be treated like a big deal on every bullying occasion, just so that that victim does know that they're heard. That's basically what my point would be on that.
Yeah, and victims are, it's long-term. We know that there's long-term effect when kids are victimized.
Right.
Well, Tara, thank you so much for calling in. It was good to hear from you. And like I said, we do need to help the school and to move forward with policies that work and really support our kids, all of our kids, even the bullies need better support.
Definitely. Thanks for addressing that in the community because it's very needed.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
And I'd just like to remind you that you're listening to The Conversation with Dr. Kim. The phone number is 503-325-0010, and we want to hear your input. Right now, we have another caller on the air. Hi, this is KMUN. You're on the air.
Good morning, Dr. Kim. This is Summer.
Good morning.
Hi there. I was just calling in to make a couple comments about some situations we've dealt with here in Astoria. I've got two stories. They're a few years apart, but one was my son had been dealing with bullying for a couple of years, and he kept getting placed with the same child and in his class. And before the next year was to start, we met with the principal and asked that next year it just simply put him in a different class would be really easy. And then it would cut down on distractions for the teacher as well in the class. And when we went to go find what the schedule was for the next year, we found that he had been placed with the same child again. And since school hadn't started and there were four other classes, I called and I thought, oh, it must have been a mistake. Is there any way, since school hasn't started yet, we could just make an easy switch? And the principal told me that he wasn't interested in making any changes at that time. And we had documented, you know, around 2 years of bullying with you know, everything from down to photographs with scratch marks and chalk marks. And I was just really upset that this easy switch was not going to happen. And I let the principal know that I felt like he had never helped us. And he still said that he wasn't going to make any changes. And it became clear, as it was the first day of school, that they were still not going to change it. So we ended up taking my son every day over to Warrenton. And they were really wonderful, and my son really enjoyed his year there, but it should have never went there.
So you actually had to take your child out of school because of the bullying, and that the bullying wasn't addressed?
That's correct.
And did you get any feedback from the school that you took him out of a school? And
no.
Nothing?
Not at all.
Well, I'm sorry that happened to your son, and this is why we wanted to talk about this topic. I think that I know that the superintendent of Astoria School District is really trying to make some changes. I know that he's really considering going to trauma-informed care, which
yeah.
means that we don't re-victimize the victim.
Yeah.
It is challenging for schools because every other year, it seems like, there's something new that comes out. We've talked about equity in the classroom, equity in the on the campus. We've talked about anti-bully programs. Now the schools are being told that the trauma-informed care is the best way to address all of these multitude of issues. And it requires a lot of training. For trauma-informed care to be alive on a campus, every single teacher, every single staff member, the principals, the superintendents, everyone has to know what types of policies we put in place and what we do when there is a bullying situation or a child that's having another behavior that is not conducive to learning or that interrupts the learning environment or impedes a child from learning.
And absolutely.
So there's challenges, but the good news is I do know in Astoria we are Craig Hoppus is really looking at trying to change things. So that's the good side of things. And
yeah, that's great.
And hopefully we can get principals and vice principals and superintendents to really understand what policy looks like that does not re-victimize victims.
Yes.
So I really appreciate your call, and I know this is a hot topic in our community because I hear about it all the time. So I did want to address it. So thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yeah.
And don't give up hope. It's very important. School boards need to hear from parents. Don't throw your hands up and give up. Go to the school board. Write to superintendent of the school district that your child attends. And, you know, we can grow together and we can build something better for our kids. I honestly believe that.
I just think we really need to focus more on the bully.
Well, the bully needs help. The bully
yeah.
needs help. And that is something really important. And
yes,
my really and truly, from a psychological standpoint, we look at kids. Kids have emotional needs. And when they're in a school setting, their intellectual needs are getting addressed, but their emotional needs are often not being addressed. And
yeah.
teachers haven't been taught how to do that. You know, they
That's
go
true.
In, they have their subject and their material to teach, and now they're having to be psychologists and psychiatrists and social workers. So we have to help them and give them the support that they need, too. My main goal is I don't want to demonize teachers or principals or vice principals, because it really and truly they're probably half the times at their wit's end. But
yeah, everybody needs help.
Right. So and we can do better. So
yeah.
Let's hope that we can make some great changes here in the Astoria School District, and we can be a model.
So.
Yeah, we can be a model for other communities.
Well, thank you so much for what you're doing. I'm excited to see how this helps Astoria, and I think it's going to make a big difference. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I'd just like to say thank you to all the callers that have called in so far. We just have a few minutes left here. In fact, we have just about a minute to go. Dr. Kim, do you have any closing remarks you'd like to say?
I really want to thank the callers for calling in. I'd really like to thank Coast Community Radio for giving a platform to helping our teens and our students and our schools. I really appreciate that. It is a way to change your community and really help make it an amazing place is by helping our young people. We together can build extraordinary youth. Thank you.
Well, and thank you for putting on this show. I think that about does it for the conversation today with Dr. Kim. You're listening to Coast Community Radio. That's KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM, and streaming online at coastradio.org, as well as the TuneIn app for your smartphone or tablet. And now you can tell your smart speaker to play KMUN as well.